The word today is praise. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. As believers in Jesus Christ who received forgiveness of our sins, we are continually in a spirit of praise toward God. We see many blessings given by God and at times His protection of our life. The Lord defends us against Satan and death as well. When we consider all the goodness of God to us, we are encouraged to praise Him. Here to share more about this wonderful topic is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Praise.
Psalm 145 has become one of my favorite psalms in all of the Old Testament, and the reason is because it's tremendously positive. It's David who's gushing with praise and adoration of God, and the more I read Psalm 145, the more it uplifts my spirit, it gives joy, it leads to a positive, spirit-filled mindset. And I hope that after we're done discussing today that you will also love Psalm 145. And you're probably wondering, well, just what is in Psalm 145 that's so exciting? Well, we start with verse 15. About three-quarters of the way through the psalm, there is a verse in verse 15 and 16 that says, "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." Some of you may recognize that as a prayer before dinner, before supper. The one that is most commonly known is called the Common Table Prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts," and some people will say, "let this food to us be blessed. Amen." This one, verses 15 and 16 of Psalm 45, have been used by many Christians for generations, and it is so beautiful, the idea that all creatures look to God for their sustenance, for their strength, and the Lord is the provider of all that is needed to sustain life. This reminds us that God the Father is credited with taking leadership, let's say, in the Trinity among Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is credited with taking charge and taking leadership in the creation of the universe. And he is also given credit as taking lead in providence, sustaining all things. And that's just one good reason why Psalm 45 is a beautiful psalm for us to remember. But there's a lot of other things here, too. One of the things that David does in Psalm 145 is that he continuously praises the Lord. He starts out generally in verse 1 and 2 with a reinforcement of praise where he says, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever." Notice how David is so zealous in his praise of God. He's saying, every day I want to be a day filled with glorifying the Lord. Let me stop you for a second and just have you consider that. How pleasing it would be to God if you commit yourself to every day praising Him, finding something, some cause, something to give thanks to the Lord for, some way to recognize His majesty or the beauty of His creation. Let's make every day an opportunity to glorify God and to say thank you to God. Can you imagine how pleasing the Lord would be if we would do that? Also, it would put ourselves in a very thankful state, recognizing all the different things that the Lord has done for us. And so in verse 15, that's just one example of all that the Lord does for us by providing us with our daily bread, as it's called in the Lord's Prayer, the necessities of life that the Lord provides for us. But there's other things in this psalm that are most praiseworthy to the Lord. Like, for instance, in verses 3 through 7, David says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." And then he talks about the way that the knowledge of the Lord, the history of the works of the Lord, are passed on from generation to generation. In verse 7, it says, "They will celebrate your abundant goodness and sing of your righteousness." In verse 6, it says, "They will tell of the power of your awesome works." If you're familiar with the history of the Bible, there are standout moments where the Lord displays his incredible power and majesty. One of them is at the very head of the Bible, the creation account. And God will forever be magnified because of creating this universe and us to inhabit it. There is also the majesty of the Lord revealed in the flood, the terrible destructive flood that the Lord used to wipe out a world that was in utter rebellion set against him. And the Lord brought that world to an end. We have countless layers of fossils across all the continents that speak to that destructive event where the Lord showed his power and his wrath, but brought Noah and his family on the ark through it. And then we have the Exodus of the Israelites in the Old Testament, and all of the history recorded about the Babylonian captivity and then the Israelites being returned to the Promised Land. Going on into the New Testament, we have one of the most fabulous demonstrations of the Lord's power in the resurrection of his son Jesus from the dead. That stands as one of the high points of the entire Bible. And then the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, where the Spirit fell on the people and they began preaching in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them in order to share the news of the kingdom of Christ. We have the ascension of Jesus and the eventual return of Christ. These are all things to glorify God for. These are things to tell each successive generation about, to make sure that the people remember the glorious work of the Lord and give thanks to him for it. In verse 13, there is David remembering that God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, he says, and your dominion endures through all generations. I'm reminded of how in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Lord promised to King David, the same man here who's written this psalm, that the Lord would take his descendants and always keep a king on the throne of Israel. Now, the kings of Israel petered out eventually, but the Lord had in mind an eternal kingdom through a descendant of David, Jesus Christ. And of course, Christ's kingdom is eternal. It will never end. And that was demonstrated by his resurrection from the dead. We also see in verse 8 and also in verses 13 and 14 where it talks about the Lord being faithful to his promises, loving toward all he has made. He upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord is compassionate. He's gracious. He's merciful. David knew very well during his lifetime about the mercy and compassion of God. David had committed some horrible sins, adultery and murder, and we think, who could be forgiven for that? Well, David was truly cut to the heart. He was authentically repentant and God forgave him. This is encouraging for anyone who has committed major sins. Even the sin of adultery or murder, this can be forgiven when we authentically come to God and repent of it. The consequences of this sin often linger and continue on in our lives, but the forgiveness and the eternal result, the eternal outcome, which would normally be condemnation and damnation for our sin, can be forgiven through Jesus Christ. And that's why it's important for even people who have done heinous crimes to repent and to come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do, you can have your sins forgiven and be admitted to heaven instead of facing the wrath and judgment of God. And of course, in verses 18 to 20, it summarizes all this by saying, "The Lord is near to those who call on him, to call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy." Notice this. You need to come to the Lord through Jesus Christ in order to find mercy so that the Lord will look over you with compassion and kindness and forgiveness so that he will guide your footsteps toward eternal life. If you turn away and try to go on your own and have antagonism and hostility toward God, watch out, because he has the power and the authority to destroy you. You don't want to take that path. Come to the Lord God in humility and in repentance and receive our Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. In Psalm 145, verse 21, David, the author, summarizes, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." Make it your habit, as David did, to praise the Lord. Let your mouth not be used for cursing and swearing and condemning people. Let it be used to lift up and praise God and speak beautiful words to others. I hope this has been a beautiful review of this psalm that calls on us to praise God abundantly at all times.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.